Second Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. Second Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you so much for your presence. God, we need a healing in our land. We need healing in families. We need healing in churches. God, may we, your people, seek you for the answers. Man cannot have the answers or come up with the answers. Our politicians won't do it. Our government can't do it. We can't do it, but oh God, you can. You can, oh God. So we seek you and we turn to you. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Revival from the God of Heaven. This is the third message from this one passage of Scripture. And if you miss those, you can listen to them on our website. But we're going to look at the latter part of this verse this morning and how God will hear from us and that He will forgive us and He will heal us and our land. That's what, Lord willing, we will be looking at this morning. This was after the dedication of the temple, and God is speaking to the king, speaking to Solomon, the leader of the nation. And He tells Solomon that if judgment is in the land, if my people will humble themselves and seek me and pray and turn from their wicked ways, if they will meet these conditions, He will revive His people. Now, in light of the New Testament, the New Covenant, no longer do we need a building called a temple, because Christianity 101, the very basics of Christianity is, it is not about man attaining heaven or attaining God or attaining to be like God. That was the first sin, by the way, the first temptation. But Christianity 101 is the God of heaven comes to man. The God of heaven indwells man as His temple. And it's all by His grace. That's Christianity 101. That is basic Christianity. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16 says this in the New Testament, "Do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you?" So, in this Old Testament passage, after the dedication of the temple, God is sharing conditions for revival. Now, we are the temple of God, and we have given our lives to Him. We are born again. He indwells us. And yet, we still need to meet the conditions God has laid out for revival. And revival must begin with God, and it begins with you and I as individuals. He says, if my people which are called by my name. In 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5, we're told this, "Examine yourselves as to whether you're in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not know yourselves that Jesus Christ is in you? Unless indeed you are disqualified." So make sure you're in the faith. Christianity 101. Make sure Christ is in you. You're the temple of God. Now the conditions are humbly pray, seek, and turn to God. His people, those who are indwelt by His Spirit. That's first. You see, man will say that you can improve yourself, that you can be straightened out. But God says you need a new heart. God says you need to be born again. I had a friend who, a friend of our family that owned sawmills, and I went to a sawmill one time to talk with him, and I was watching how they were picking up those logs and placing them in the saw where the saw runs down or the log runs through that, and that saw cuts down the side of them logs, then it's turned over and it's cut again, and that log becomes perfectly straight. I mean, all the limbs and knots are cut straight, and if you look at that, that log has become a very straight beam. But if you look closer at the end of that log, you know what you see? You see the heart of it, and that heart is crooked and full of knots. See, man will say you can fix it yourself, and you can be straightened out, you can be reformed, but God says you must be born again, because the heart is desperately wicked. You see, man, an alcoholic can quit drinking. A drug person can stop doing drugs. And then if that's all you do, then you will go to hell sober. You'll go to hell off of drugs, but you're still going to hell no matter how straight you are on the outside. You need to be born again. You need Jesus. Examine. Make sure you're in the faith. Test yourself. You need Christ in you, the hope of glory. Anything else is not Christianity and is not of God. And God says, if my people, if my temples whom I dwell will humble themselves and pray and seek me in turn, then He promises us He will heal us. Heal our land, our families, our churches. If God's people will do it. But first, make sure you're in the faith. Make sure you know Jesus. You see, we need a revival in our lives and in our families and in our church. We need a revival. One problem is God's people do not realize that they need a revival. God's people, may I dare say, we have operated for so long in the flesh, for so long not seeking God's will and God's presence, for so long you've been operating in the flesh and serving God in the flesh that we don't realize we need a revival now. Everything you think and do is in the flesh instead of after the Spirit of God. We need a revival. Oh, how we all need a revival. We're like Samson. Samson, the last time he told Delilah and she cut his hair, he went out to meet the Philistines and he shook himself and said, I'll go out as all the times before. But he did not know the Spirit of God had departed from him. We've operated in the flesh for so long and the Spirit of God is quenched and grieved within us and we're so used to it now that we justify our sins and justify of serving in the flesh on our terms. If it ain't on our terms, then we're going to quit or get mad or cause a big stink because of the flesh and the desires of the flesh. The conditions are humbly pray, humbly seek, and humbly turn to God. And when we follow these conditions set out by God, God will hear from heaven. The God of heaven will hear our prayers. The God of heaven will be attentive to what we pray and seek Him for. Isn't that good news? The God of heaven will hear. In Acts chapter 13, we have an account of many recorded in Scripture. But in Acts chapter 10, verses 30 and 31, so Cornelius said, 4 days ago I was fasting until this hour, and at the ninth hour I prayed in my house, and behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing and said, Cornelius, your prayer has been heard, and your alms are your good works, your godly living, your alms are remembered in the sight of God. God heard him. God answered his prayer. See, he was right with God. He was seeking God. He was fasting and praying before God and wanted God to answer him. An angel said, your prayer's been heard. Your prayers have been heard. The God of heaven will hear. Remember the story of Moses there at the burning bush? What did God tell Moses? I have heard and I've seen the cries of my people. You go, Moses. God, I can't do it. The desert's gotten my tongue. I'm slow of speech. I stutter. They'll make fun of me. You go anyway, Moses. But God, what will I tell Pharaoh? You go, Moses. What will I tell your people who sent me? I am that I am has sent you. You go, Moses, because I have heard the cries of my people. The God of heaven will hear us when we follow the conditions. And he also says, when we follow the conditions, God will forgive our sins. He will hear us and forgive us. In the Old Testament, the oldest book they say of the Bible, the book of Job. And it explains how successful Job was and what a godly man Job was. And one day in heaven, the sons of God or the hosts of heaven came together. And God asks the devil about Job. Where you been, devil? The devil's been up and down, looking around. And he says, have you considered my servant Job? The devil says, starts accusing Job. He says, well, if you'll take this away from him or do that to him, he'll curse you, God. He'll turn from you. And that same accuser, the devil, the Satan, the God of heaven, they're the hosts of heaven, and that accuser, he's called in Revelation. Look at Edgar. Look how Edgar has failed you today, God. Look what he's done. Oh, how he messed up today. Look what Brian did. God, look how he messed up. Look what Stephen did, God. Look. That accuser. Oh, but we have an advocate. An advocate who's in the throne, who's on the right hand of power with all authority. Our advocate which is our high priest, which is our sacrifice, he says, wait a minute. He's forgiven. He's forgiven. He's in my righteousness. He's covered by my blood. He is forgiven. He has humbled himself before me. He has given me his life. And he seeks me daily. He prays to me daily. He's forgiven. Finished. That accuser don't have much to say after that. God says he will hear us and that he will forgive our sin. Let's have a walk through Colossians this morning about forgiveness. Turn with me to Colossians in the New Testament. Let's just walk through Colossians when it speaks about forgiveness. I want you to turn with me to Colossians chapter 1. Please. Colossians chapter 1. Verses 13 through 15. Colossians chapter 1, verse 13. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of His love, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. So we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins. Everyone say hallelujah. That's a hallelujah there. Colossians chapter 2, verses 13 and 14, Colossians chapter 2, verse 13 and 14. And you, being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, He has made alive together with Him, having forgiven you all trespasses, having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us, and He has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross, forgiven of all trespasses. You've broken one law, you're a lawbreaker. You've transgressed in one area, you're a transgressor. But in Christ, He wipes it clean. Wipes it clean. He will hear us. He will forgive us. Also look now in Colossians chapter 3, as we're still talking and looking at forgiveness. God forgiving us. And when we're forgiven of God, did you know you have a responsibility? You have a responsibility when you have been forgiven of God. Let's read about it. Colossians chapter 3, verses 12 and 13. Therefore, as the elect of God, see, you've been chosen. You've been elected. Your faith is in Christ. You're chosen. You're the elect. Holy and beloved. Put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another, and forgiving one another. Everyone say forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. See, I have a responsibility and you have a responsibility. When you have been forgiven by the God of heaven because of the blood of His dear Son, you are redeemed. The transgressions you have committed are wiped clean in Christ. Now, as the elect of God, you and I have a responsibility. Love covers a multitude of wrongs done to it. We have a responsibility to forgive one another. And let me tell you something. When you start forgiving one another, when you start forgiving your children and children start forgiving their parents, and when you start forgiving your relatives and your friends and who's done you wrong or your brother and sister in Christ that you was offended in some way or another, and you start forgiving them, the God of heaven will bless you. The God of heaven will heal you. You see, when you don't forgive, you're a sick person. Your soul, your emotions are sick. But when you start forgiving, it looses you, it sets you free for a healing from God. And when you start forgiving and others are forgiving you, when you forgive that person that you can't talk to and can't do this and can't do that, and you can't even share Jesus with them, forgive them. Ask for forgiveness if you need it. Share Jesus with them. They're going to hell. Share Jesus with them. Forgive. Do whatever you got to do. Share Jesus with them. God will heal the land. God will heal a family. I've been upset at my family over the most needless stuff. Oh, but when forgiveness takes place, it brings healing. It brings healing. Forgive them. Put on tender mercies and loving kindness and long suffering. Put that on and forgive. You're the elect of God. When we're in eternity, it won't matter. Either they're going to be in hell or in heaven with you. You don't be the stumbling block with unforgiveness. You have a responsibility. You want to be able to share the gospel. When we follow the conditions, God will heal our land. He will heal our families. He will heal our church. He will heal our community. He will heal our state when we meet these conditions. When we stop operating in the flesh, and because we have humbled ourselves before a holy God and we're seeking His will and we're operating, allowing His Spirit to work in us and through us, His light to shine in us and out from us, when we're operating in the Spirit of God, it'll bring healing. Turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24. Who Himself bore our sins in His own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. By His stripes. If you're broken this morning, God can heal you. If you're laden down with sins this morning, God can deliver you. If you have unforgiveness in your heart so much that you're bitter, God can heal you of that. If you have no hope this morning, God can give you hope. If you want revival in your life and in your family, God says that if you'll do these, meet these conditions. First of all, you got to know them. You meet these conditions. If you're one of His people, my people which are called by my name, He says, God will revive you. Now, revival is not something that you may do in a church for just for a few moments and then leave out of the church and say, I done my due. No, revival is a continuous thing in our lives. It's a revival is to get right with God by humbling before Him and seeking Him and praying and turning from our wicked ways. And it's a continuous, lifelong journey. It's returning to your first love and staying with your first love. And if God's people will do that, our land will be healed. Only God can do it. That's why we must seek Him. Let us pray. Lord, we thank You for Your forgiveness and for Your healing. God, we thank You that we are born from above. May we have a walk with You, Lord, that is so special that we want to share it with others by the way we live and by what we do, and share it with others, Lord, even when we need to let go and let You in the area of forgiveness and seeking You. May it be such a change that we want to share You. May You have all glory forever and ever. Amen.